Hey Potters, welcome to episode 83 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Thank you for staying with us this long. I feel like we're progressing as a podcast. We're getting slightly older and wiser.
We're getting newer and better and greater. There you go.
Yes, no less ambitious for lighting things on fire.
Yay!
Anyways, we've got plenty for you on the show today. We've got quite a bit of cosplay updates. There's a lot of cosplay in the news lately. Convention season is already in full swing. Hopefully those who are out at our friendly Doctor Who convention are having
a good time. Or Katsucon.
That is true. Katsucon is also going on. I know there are other conventions as well.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully those of you guys who are out and about, hope you guys are having a wonderful time. We've already been seeing the photographs appear up on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
So let's go ahead and get started with our normal cosplay updates. Val, do you have anything that you are working on?
I do. I've actually been doing a lot of patterning for the past couple of weekends. Amber and I are part of this group with locally. It's our quote-unquote cosplay circle, so we just meet up at random times once a month and just get together and start doing things. And usually it ends up being like 6 hours of us talking and not being productive. But this last time, it was like 8 hours of being ridiculously productive. I've got most of my patterns done, which I've never had that happen before during one of our meets, which is weird. So I've got things going on for Foo from Magic Knight Rare, so that'll be all types of fun and floatiness and giant swords and weird armor that makes no sense. I've got all of my patterns ready to go for my Amidala costume, and it's clamped. That's all you need to know. And then I've got a big pretty dress that I'm working on in the background. I've made it out of muslin. Congratulations, I have improved. Amber, I'm using muslin. Be proud of
muslin.
Me. Whatever.
There's a very, very big difference. I wouldn't normally say anything, but there's a very, very big difference. But yes, congrats, you made a dress out of muslin.
I know. I've stepped up in the world. I usually use newspaper. So yeah, it's just been a lot of patterning and lots of patterning and lots of patterning. By the way, I need to get my corset pattern back from you because I need it.
Okay. You can have it.
Cool.
It's sitting in my craft room.
Yay.
I even know where it is.
I'll probably just stop by after work now that I know where you live.
Remember, I will be sleeping.
I'll have to harass her on a weekend. But yeah, it's just been a lot of patterning. So it's been fairly productive, given that I've really trimmed down my costuming schedule this year to make up for new job stuff. Oh yeah, Val got a new job. Yay. I don't think we talked about that last time.
No, we didn't.
No, because we had guests on.
It was alluded to in vague, sort of fluffy ways.
Val got a new job, Amber has a new job. So yeah, we've both been ridiculously busy in the real world that cosplay is kind of taking a back seat. Doesn't mean that I'm still not doing this stuff after I get home. So yeah, that's all I has.
So yeah, I've been killing my fingers cutting out styrene bits, which, you know, when you end up with pieces like this, this is a bracelet, by the way. I have to cut it out with manicure scissors. When you see the tracings on it, it'll actually make sense because it's actually a whole bunch of Celtic crisscross, you know, lines, basically. Same thing with this. You can actually... Now you can see all my pen markings I have to cut out. And it's nice and flexible. It just kills my fingers because they're hard metal scissors that you have to use for long periods of time. And you have to use force when you cut styrene. It's not like paper. You can't just let the scissors do the work. You actually have to give it force. And I finished cutting out all my fabric pieces for Cosmos. Sadly, I don't have them here. They're actually on a cutting table in my craft room, along with all the rest of my styrene and foam bits. I actually only have two. These are the last two styrene pieces I have to cut out, and that's it. And then I'm done cutting everything out for Cosmos.
Then yay!
Which, it's a good thing that I made the progress that I did when I did, because, yes, I did get a new job. However, in 24 hours, I actually start working overnights. My shift is completely reversed from what it was now. So now I will be sleeping in the afternoons, which is why I made the comment when Val comes to visit me, I'll be asleep, which is true. I will be asleep. And I'll have to start working at midnight. And that's going to affect my ability to get cosplay done in a timely manner. And it's also going to affect my ability to be at conventions. So If you see me at AllCon or ACon and I look really out of it, it's not because I'm drugged, it's not because I'm high, and it's not because I'm trying to make you go away because I don't want to see you. It's because I'm probably genuinely sleep deprived. Because I will have just worked the night before and then had to stay awake again. It would be like a 24-hour all-nighter without the energy drink. So that will be fun, but you know, it's a job. Adult life gets in the way of cosplay sometimes, and it sucks. But you do what you have to do to pay the bills, which give you cosplay money. So that is pretty much all I've been working on, is Cosmos, 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 because I have to have this done for AllCon, which is in less than 1 month from the time that we are podcasting this.
Yeah, this is why I've given up on the timeline for Amidala. I was thinking she'd be done by then, but I'm like, no, it'll get done when it gets done.
Yeah, I've had to really scale back my cosplay ambitions. I started the year going, okay, I can probably make maybe 8 new costumes over a year's time. That's not too out of the ordinary, because that's more than a month for each. Now that my work schedule has changed and I'm having to budget a little bit differently given my different job status, I'm cutting that down to about 4.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if I'm lucky.
Yeah. But it's what we got to do. I mean, job comes first.
That's point. Adult life. Yeah. And so I have to now work my cosplay around my adult life. But if I can, I'm still going to take pieces of it with me to work so that on my lunches or on my breaks, I can still be doing little handiwork like this sort of thing, you know, bring manicure scissors and a piece of styrene with me.
There you go.
The security guards look at me funny, but that's okay. That's not new. So, yes, that is the entirety of my cosplay update. Oh, I haven't even introduced my new coworkers to my madness yet. That'll be fun.
I say my coworkers have unintentionally stumbled upon my madness, because one of the things I do now, because this is actually a big step up for me in terms of career-wise, is I'm the digital content coordinator with a marketing firm. Super uber cool, awesome. So it basically means I get to be on social media all day on top of my other job responsibilities. In order to do that, I have to log into my personal Facebook account. Needless to say, they have walked by as I've done this, and it's like, Val, what's this thing on your Facebook? Okay, so let me explain this hobby of
famous last words. What's this on your Facebook?
At least most of my stuff on Facebook is fairly PC, so, you know.
Yeah.
And I have, the guys in IT are really nice. They're younger than I am, but they're uber nerdy too. Like, one of them was a huge World of Warcraft player, so I'm like, okay, he gets it. So that's not a problem. I got them already.
Where I work, because I am now a cybersecurity analyst, so I work in IT in a teeny tiny little room with a whole bunch of other nerdy guys.
Yay!
So at least I don't think it will scare them too much when I tell them I do these things.
No, I think when you, if you angle it from the nerd perspective and be like, yeah, I like do D&D and all this stuff, and then you can kind of gradually ease them into it, then they kind of become more accepting.
Oh, yeah.
Nerdy guys are fun.
Working overnights, I won't see too much of the other guys anyway. I will see two guys.
There you go.
I will see 2 of my coworkers ever. So, that said, let us move on to our next bit of information, and that is AllCon.
Yay!
AllCon is coming up, yay!
Yay!
We've actually had additional people pre-reg for the cosplay contest. Thank
I'm
you
so
very
happy
much for
about
doing
that.
It helps us plan for the number of people we're going to have competing, you know, to make sure we have enough music, to make sure that we time things the way we need to, because we get kicked out at 8:45. But also, for those who pre-reg, we can actually get appropriate music for you. So if you're from a series, if you're from a movie, if you're from a TV show, we can actually arrange to play appropriate music for you when you walk the stage, because we'll know in advance what you're doing. That helps us, and it's cool for you. So that's kind of an incentive for people to pre-reg if you think you're going to be able to compete. I mean, you may not be sure at this point, and that's okay. But you can always pre-reg and then just let us know later if you need to drop.
Yeah, absolutely. That's easy.
This helps us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it makes a cooler con experience.
If you're thinking about it, yes. If you are thinking about it, please consider pre-registering All of the information can be found on our Facebook. It's also mirrored on our website, which is cospod.org, if you have not visited there.
And one thing I definitely want to remind people, because this is something that actually came up on when I was talking with friends on Wednesday, because one of them was talking about entering, and it's like, well, it's usually only just Japanese stuff. And I'm like, no. It's totally different this year. Whatever you're dressed up as, we want you to enter. It's about the playing aspect of it. We want you to become the character, whatever the character is. We'll take film, television, movie, Japanese, Western, European. We don't care. Just sign up. So I think pretty once much, I got that word out, it was like, okay, we can do it now.
Yes. The only practical limitation on what you can bring is that it has to be family-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because all con is a family-friendly con.
Exactly, outside, just like anywhere else.
Pretty much bring whatever.
Yeah.
You can do original characters, you can do human interpretations, you can do gender bends. All of the above are fine. Just as long as it's family-friendly, bring whatever you'd like.
It just has to conform to all cons' costuming guidelines. That's it.
Yes, and if you're doing a skit, and we do take skits, hard limit of 4 people on the stage, just for planning purposes.
Stage is tiny.
Yeah, it is a small stage, but you know, we're gonna make it work.
Oh yeah,
everything will be perfectly fine. We're pros at this. We've both done all sides of competition at this point. Also, I wanted to mention that we do have press credentials now for all con, so we will be, you know, hanging around, filming, attending panels, attending events outside of running the cosplay contest. I've already seen quite a few cosplay events that I would like to attend, panels that I'd like to attend. There's also a fabric and panel swap. Not a fabric and pattern swap.
Maybe it's a panel swap. They're doing a lot of new panels this year.
Well, if you have fabric panels, you know, like curtain panels, and they'll probably take those too.
Hey!
So it will be happening twice. I believe it's Friday and Saturday of the con. So if you have patterns that you're not using or that you can't use anymore, if you have fabric that you'd like to get rid of, if you have fabric you're looking for, I would highly recommend going to the swap meet. You can always just drop off your excess and then come back later to pick up whatever's left over if you want to. But it's a good way of recycling as opposed to simply throwing away, especially if somebody else can use your stuff.
It kills me when I have to throw away fabric.
If anybody ever has excess fabric, I will take it because I can do things with it, even if it's, you know, making a quilt. I can make fabric shopping bags for taking to the store. You can make patterns out of it. You can do Christmas tree covers, Christmas tree skirts that go around the bottom. You can weave potholders with it. I mean, you can do any number of things with these. You can even use them as stuffing for pillows. So please don't throw fabric away, guys, if you can help it, unless the scraps are literally unusable. Like if you have tiny little spaghetti strings of fabric, yeah, you can't really use those. But if you have anything that's of decent size enough that you could even make a quilting square out of it, bring it to the swap meet so that other people can have a whack at it before you throw it out. And even then, you can always donate to local theater groups, high school textile groups, college textile classes. You can always donate these things because they'll happily take them from you.
Yeah, there are actually a couple of quilting groups online that do take scrap fabric as well. They have certain recommendations and limitations, but if you qualify with your fabric, send it on over to them. They always need scraps, always.
99% of the time, their requirement is that it has to be 100% cotton.
Yeah.
And that's so that they can control shrinking, because a lot of the quilting groups, they are making quilts for either the homeless or veterans groups, or even the disabled. There's a couple groups for that too. So it's for a good cause, but do make sure you check the requirements first, because otherwise they can't use them in the quilts. So, you know, double check on that. The other thing that I wanted to announce briefly as part of cosplay updates is that Akon photo shoots are really starting to pick up because we're getting closer and closer to Akon. For those who want to hold photo shoots or are wondering, you know, is there photo shoot for X, please head over to the Akon forum site, which is on their Facebook. They basically call it their fan page. Head over there to their cosplay group. There is a pinned post that has all of the cosplay photo shoot signups. If you do not fill out the form, it won't appear on the schedule. So please don't take that as we're abandoning you. You know, we hate you. We don't want to list your group for everybody else to see. It's because Valve doesn't have the time to go after all of this information that's scattered across the interwebs. So if you'd like to hold a photo shoot and you want other people to attend, please take, you know, 60 seconds, because that's about how long it takes. It's very quick. And fill out the Google Doc so that it lists your photo shoot on the schedule with everybody else's so that everybody can see and attend. If you don't fill out the form, even if you just post it on the Facebook, it won't appear. So please go ahead, fill out the form, 60 seconds, and then that way it will be formal. Thank you.
Val greatly appreciates it because she's the only one who maintains this document, and she's really busy.
And bear in mind that last year, these were actually included in the guidebook so that other people can see them. Basically, if it's not on the form, it's not going to show up in guidebook.
Exactly.
So please, you know, help us out to help you by following the process. And that's on a personal note, Amber has fallen to the dark side.
Yeah, buddy, she got her ring.
Yes, I have the
one
ring.
I love that you're wearing it.
I had to have it on a chain. This thing's heavy. It's very, very like heavy, weighty.
Isn't it a replica?
It is a replica. It is actually tungsten.
Mm.
And it's 18 okay. karat gold plate.
Oh, nice.
And the engravings, you probably won't be able to see this very well, but the engravings are also tungsten.
Oh yeah, you can't see it, but
yeah, it's a little hard to see even in real life because it's very light silver on gold.
Mm-hmm.
But it does fit. You know, I sized it for my middle finger, so I can wear it. It doesn't. Sadly, you can still see me. I haven't disappeared, so it does not function as intended. But that's okay. But I did want to say a big thank you to Cosplay Boom for allowing me to win this. This was part of their trivia contest right before Christmas when they had their Hobbit special. And I did watch the special. You know, I didn't go there just to win stuff. I actually did go because I'm a Tolkien fan. So I highly recommend if you go to their website, which is cosplayboom.com, they have not only their Hobbit video, but they have other videos with other cosplayers. And I believe they even had an Origins of Cosplay, which my co-host Val was in.
Hi.
They just did a new one with Bill of Punished Props, who we're actually going to be interviewing as well.
Woo!
So I highly encourage you guys to go ahead, have a look at their videos, consider supporting them through Patreon so that they can continue to produce these. But I did want to make sure that I said thank you to them for, you know, my Tolkien, my gold, my I don't want to stroke it too much because I don't want to wear off the plating. I don't want to damage it.
Oh, goodness. I'm waiting for the Star Wars episode so I can clean house on that one and get something.
I would not begrudge you that.
See? Yeah. I could always use another lightsaber. Okay.
It's all good.
Actually,
all right.
This is a good segue, Kevin, to our next topic.
That is true. So we're moving on to cosplay in the news. So these are all of the different news stories that we've seen floating around on the interwebs that contain cosplay. So Val, did you want to talk about a couple of these articles?
I was say, yeah, since I'm going to so graciously segue into this next segment. I know this has been popping up on the internet because it just happened over the past couple of days. Some NASA astronauts have been dressing up as Jedis and have made a lovely fake film poster featuring them in their upcoming mission. And it is very epic and very cool and uber nerdy. I love it. It's kind of cool to see that they're getting back into the fun of it. Because for me, I'm a huge NASA nerd. For the longest time, I really wanted to be an astronaut until I realized I totally did not fit any of the qualifications. And I completely suck at math and I completely suck at science. But I still love the idea of going out into space and the journey and the whole thing. So it's cool to see NASA getting a couple sparks again and people are getting interest. And it's like, you know what? We can be giant dorks and have fun too. And still be math geniuses.
The poster, if you look at it, and you can find this on Gizmodo, it actually has legitimate spacecraft and photography in the background.
It's so cool.
I mean, these things are not Photoshopped to be like Star Wars. I mean, they're legit pieces of scientific hardware. That there is one, you know, the Death Star is in there, so that is
right.
You know, we haven't built one of those yet, but everything else is legit.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very cool. There is only one Sith, at least by his lightsaber color. So
which makes it,
I thought that was cute.
Yeah, which makes it uber, uber awesome. So for more all things Star Wars, because I just stumbled upon this morning, as much as I've been very unhappy about the franchise being purchased by Disney, they're doing something a little cool for 2016, and I may actually have to sign up and be a part of this. They're having Star Wars Day on their Disney Line cruises starting next year. And it's for select cruises that are going to, I believe, the Bahamas. And it's going to be one day and one day only that they do on their, like, six-day cruise, where they just make it Star Wars Day. So they have stuff that goes on for the kids. They have their Jedi Training Academy that you can currently do at Disney World. They're going to turn their bar into a full-fledged cantina, like the one that's in
Mos
Eisley.
It'll be Mos Eisley. Yep.
Yeah. It's like, okay,
they'll
I'm dorky enough.
Music.
Yes.
It won't be that same track looped, thank God.
Thank God.
But they'll have cantina style music, including that track. So that is very cool.
And they're also dedicating a theater to play all six of the movies at the same time, as well as the Star Wars Rebel series that's currently airing. So it's like, okay, I might be on board with this. And I'm not a big boat person. I don't. The idea of being stuck on a boat for 6 days does not do well with me. I might be okay with it and deal with the other 5 days of normal Disney stuff.
And it looks like there will also be certain unnamed celebrities on that same cruise. From
exactly. So I'm like, I might have to sign up for this.
And of course, they'll end it in their normal Disney way with fireworks and a big celebration. So,
of course. I'm okay with that.
There are only 8 of these, so if you guys are interested in going, you need to sign up very soon, since there's such a limited number of the cruises that are going to have Star Wars Day.
And obviously, that's going to be a pretty big draw for families. So.
Yep. So, of course, you can find information on StarWars.com.
Of course. Where else could you find the information? Maybe on Disney's page, but that's a little difficult to navigate.
It can be.
Yeah. And then the last one that I found that was really, really entertaining is, so Wizard World kind of exploded last year. They added like 7 cities to their lineup. One of us was down in San Antonio, so a little bit local, but they've kind of gone all over the place. They're in Indianapolis this weekend, so I decided to just Google some updated info. They're adding 9 more cities to their ginormous schedule. They want to do a minimum of 22 conventions a year throughout the United States, and they want to keep growing. So they're going to be looking to do
more than one a month, kids.
I know. So they're looking to do San Jose. They're looking to go to Vegas. They're looking to go to Fort Lauderdale in Florida. It's just like, wow. Wizard World is taking over. It's like a traveling road show now.
Kinda.
Yeah. And given that they're keeping the same celebrities in line too, like Nathan Fillion signed up to do like 5 of the shows already, like continuously. And they're bringing certain people, like the Weasley twins from Harry Potter. They're going to be at like 8 of the shows. And it's just like, okay, it's really becoming like a traveling Comic-Con circus.
Kind of. It is a miniature version of Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard good things about Wizard World, though. So I'm unsure if I actually want to attend one. I'm curious, but I don't know.
I too have heard things, particularly about their photography practices and about their cosplay contest practices.
They're very notorious about those, yeah.
Hopefully that will be ironed out for the upcoming Wizard Worlds, because of course cosplay being such an increasing part of convention life that it's not something you can really ignore when you have those kind of things going around. Just like in any business, rumors will impact your reputation, whether they're true.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we want to hear good things about Wizard World. We really do. And you can find more information about their expanding convention lineup at wizardworld.com. the last thing that I wanted to mention briefly, and that was simply because I forgot to mention this on last podcast, it is mildly cosplayer related, is that Monty Ohm did pass away. He was one of the lead animators and directors at Rooster Teeth. And if you have not been, you know, watching social media lately, he worked on Red vs. Blue, he worked on Ruby. There were a couple of other series as well that are just escaping my mind for the moment that he also worked on. And he had asked that in lieu of sending donations, that sort of thing, that people should consider creating things instead, and that they should do that to the best of their ability. And so I would highly encourage, you know, those who are fans of Rooster Teeth and or his shows to, you know, take that creative drive and put it into your cosplay. You don't necessarily have to do Red versus Blue cosplay or X-Ray and Vav cosplay. You don't have to do that. But put it into your cosplay, you know, take that passion, take that drive, and just run with it, you know, in his honor. I know I certainly am. I'm actually doing Ruby cosplay for Akon, but that was before I heard he was passing. Now I'm doubly doing it in his honor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Godspeed, Monty. I'm kind of hoping that they'll still come out with Ruby Season 3.
It seems like from the interviews and the things that I've heard, because I've been listening to the podcast, and I'm an avid Rooster Teeth fan. I have been since the very first season of Red vs. Blue, so anything Halo, I'm all about it. But they said that he's got enough content for at least a good 5-6 seasons plus. So the animators already know what he wanted to do, where the vision was going. It's just a matter of what happens after that. So I think they're going to be good with getting Ruby up through their school years, but then after that point, what comes next? So we'll see how it goes. We'll see what happens. I don't think, based on his personality, and I've watched his stuff from like Dead Fantasy, which is one of his earlier works, I don't think he would want them to stop working on it. I think he'd want it to continue in some form or another. So it'll be a challenging thing, and I know a lot of people are really depressed about it, but his work will continue. It'll still keep going. He's got ideas. They were down somewhere. People know about them.
And for those who want to contribute, you know, they did have a, I think it was Kickstarter?
No, GoFundMe, because I donated to it.
they had a GoFundMe that raised well over $150,000 for his family's medical fund so that they could take care of final expenses and whatnot, because hospital stays are not cheap, kids.
No, they're not, even with insurance.
Right. And the other thing that you can do is become a sponsor of Rooster Teeth, you know, to help them out as well. I know that Project Akon is having a Ruby memorial photo shoot specifically for this. So if you would like to, you know, partake in that, you know, you can always check out the posting on Facebook, which I believe is publicly available at this point. It's also on Akon's website. I believe that is all the news, unless you have anything else.
No, I'm ready to go into our next segment, if you are.
Moving on to our cost philosophy, which this was something that I wanted to discuss as I had seen it in a couple of forums lately. It's a little bit of a turning of the tables, because normally what you think of whenever you have photography and photo shoots is that, you know, people pay cosplayers like they're models. You know, we're basically paying you for your time and services. Well, the other side of that is if cosplayers pay to be in cosplay videos. And instead of, you know, somebody going around with a video making a little AMV of, you know, people dancing to certain music in cosplay, now they're actually having cosplayers register for slots for time in these videos. It's almost like paying for FaceTime in a commercial. Except that the cosplayers aren't the ones making the money from the commercial. They're having to pay to be in the commercial. So I thought that to be a little bit of an interesting twist and a good place to start talking about, you know, photographers making money for what they do and cosplayers making money for what they do and who gets paid when and how much for what. Just, I know that Photography, cosplay photography, and the rights to photos are a completely different conversation. That's not what this is about.
Yeah, that's a whole different ball of messiness.
But I could see paying a photographer for a professional set of shots, because it's a lot like, you know, modeling or even in the acting industry, to where if you want headshots for a resume, you go out, you pay a professional photographer $200-$300, and they give you a nice professional set of photos in return.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying for their professional services. I don't know why, but I feel a little off about paying to register for a slot in what appears to be a cosplay AMV. I mean, for some of these people, they're also, I'm not going to name names, just to keep this very neutral. For some of these people, whenever you go to be in their video, they will also provide you photographs for you paying for this time. But I'm kind of sitting there going, well, unless you're a professional videographer who has worked on film, even if it's amateur film, that's still professional level, and this would be a professional film, I'm not sure about the whole paying for a slot thing.
And even then, if it were a quote-unquote professional, most of them are hobbyists at that point. I mean, even before I started doing Cospod, I mean, I did filming as a hobby and as well as a job on the sides, but there was a difference between the hobby section and the job section. It just seemed weird to me to go to a convention and tell people, hey, I want you to pay me so I can do video of you. It just doesn't seem to fit in my mind. It doesn't fit in the mind of a lot of videographers, so it's kind of an odd step outside the norm. But I could also see why people are doing it, because it's one way to ensure that you get models, that you have models that are committed to your project, because that's always the tricky part, is getting people to sign up to be in your video. Or people are more willing to back out because they haven't paid anything, but if they pay up front, they're more likely to show up. So it's kind of like, yeah, I could see it, and it's a nice way to monetize, but I don't know, it's just something about it doesn't sit well with me. It just makes me feel uncomfortable. Like, the only people who are good enough to be in your video are the ones who can afford to be in it. And I'm like, well, that's not really what cosplay is about. Last right. I checked.
I mean, even if it's a really good AMV, it's still an AMV. It's not... You can use professional photographs as part of your resume, part of your portfolio. Chances are good you're not going to show them a clip of your cosplay video. You're probably going to show them photographs.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I would feel a little bit leery. I'm not saying that they're not good. I would just feel a little bit awkward, because I can't use a video in my cosplay portfolio as much as I can use professional photographs.
Really, the only people who would be able to benefit from the cosplay video are the videographers themselves, if they're trying to get a job in that field. Then yeah, absolutely. I know I've done it to get my current job. I linked them to a couple of videos that I've made for Cospod. So, I mean, that I get. But for as the model in it, not so much. Like, videography modeling is still not a thing. It's mostly photographic. The video thing is not taken off for models at all. No matter how much America's Next Top Model really tries to make it happen, it's not happening.
It's also a little harder to send video over the internet. Like, if you're sending, say, a resume, photographs, you can edit them down to be fairly small in size. If you send even a couple seconds worth of video, you're already pretty close to the attachment limit for most email services.
Exactly.
If it's anywhere close to quality video, then it's even harder. So it's a little easier to work with photographs. But the other thing that I had noticed was spoken about recently, to turn the tables again, was cosplayers asking for money to have their photos taken.
And I seriously wonder if the original post, because I remember reading it first, I was like, is she joking? Is this meant to be some elaborate, like, haha, we're turning the tables just to be funny? Or was she being serious? I have no idea. I still don't know.
Well, let's assume that they were serious and not doing this for media exposure, and oh, hey, look at that. if they were serious and cosplayers are starting to ask for money to have photos taken of them, that kind of changes the convention dynamic.
It does.
If you go to a con and you've got a camera and you see somebody in a really cool costume, chances are good you're going to walk over and want to take their photo. If said person suddenly asks, "Hey, I want $10 for that photo you just took," nobody's going to want to take pictures of you.
Yeah, that's kind of defeating the purpose of the costume and doing all of this. I mean,
I could see if this was known in advance, because part of what people do when they go to a convention, hopefully, is they budget. They budget money to spend on things. And this is why it's not quite as bad, say, if you are paying to be in a cosplay music video or if you're paying to have a photo shoot. Chances are good you had to sign up for that in advance and you had to budget for that in advance. So you know in advance you have to bring extra money for this.
Right.
The average convention goer isn't going to bring an additional $50 just in the case that whatever cosplayer they're taking pictures of wants money. They're not going to do that. And you can't really expect them to do that. So as a cosplayer, I'd feel kind of awkward asking people for money just to take my picture.
Yeah, same here. It just doesn't make sense. I don't know. It just seems weird to me to be taking a hobby and then trying to monetize it outside of what's reasonable. Just to ask people, hey, if you want my time, you have to pay for it. And it's like, no, that's usually
Which,
not how the relationship works.
true. And you can't really defend it by saying, "Oh, well, I'm trying to recoup the cost of my costume." That doesn't really stand up to scrutiny,
Yeah,
because
and
you can't depend on that to reimburse your costume.
It just
I
seems
mean,
like they're looking for a reason. It's just like, okay, no one picked this
or maybe
costume
no
but
reason at
you.
all.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't tell you to make that costume. You made that costume. It was your choice to use that material, to use these things to take this much time. Why do I have to help pay for those costs when it was your decision?
And kind of that's part of the point of cosplay is to do it because you love it, not because you
Yeah.
expect to be reimbursed for it. Even the really uber famous people can't really expect to get reimbursed for all of the cosplay that they do. I mean, if you did that, you'd basically have to work for a company whose purpose was cosplay, and you'd have to be an employee of theirs. Other than that, you can't really expect it. I mean, it's much in the same way that, oh, I forget the name of it. Musicians that play on street corners.
Okay.
There's a word for it, and it's escaping me at the moment because I was told that this is what it is called. But for those who play on street corners, they can't expect to make a day's wages out of that. They can't expect people to all pay them for playing. Even if they're good at it, you can't expect that. They're doing it because they enjoy doing it, because they might make a little money in the process. Cosplay is, it works a lot the same way. You can't just dress up, parade around, and expect people to pay you a lot of money just to take pictures of you. So, I was a little surprised to see. At the same time, it's like, well, given today's society, you can always ask for anything. The worst they'll tell you is no.
I was to say, I mean, we now have things like
They can ask.
GoFundMe.
That.
I mean, that's the perfect example,
Oh
unfortunately.
gosh.
I mean,
I'll save
what
that for the after session because
was.
I have very strong feelings on that subject that I'm going to keep out of the main podcast.
So a lot of these places like Kickstarter and GoFundMe have good intentions, but then you get people who try to abuse the system, and what can you do? You can choose not to donate, but if somebody believes enough in their cause to give them money, what's to stop them? I mean, what
It's a
can you
risk
say?
like anything else. Like if you go play the stock market,
Exactly.
you take that risk knowing that you may not get a return. You may get negative return, in fact. You may have people destroy your reputation because you're asking $10 per photo from anyone who tries to take your picture. So there is that.
Yeah. I've also noticed, and maybe this is just me, but it seems like certain photographers are increasing their prices for at convention photos a little weird. I'm not going to say which one in particular, but there was one that I was looking at, and they do okay work. It's still a little amateurish, not something that I would personally pay for, but they were wanting $85 for just a 15-minute session. I'm like, whoa, that is ludicrous.
There isn't
for that type
really
of,
a set formula, I've noticed, in photography based, you know, there is no minimum wage for photography to where you can estimate what it will cost you. You basically have to contact the photographer and do it on a case-by-case basis and tell them what you want, where you want to do it, when you want to do it, how long you want to do it, and any sort of specifications that you prefer. So there isn't really a rhyme or reason. But I did notice within the last month that there have been a few posts, so there must have been a debate somewhere, about justifying why photographers charge what they do, particularly professional photographers. Because apparently there were some comments made that people were overcharging for what we would probably consider a normal session, 30 minutes. That's... given how busy conventions can be, 30 minutes is a standard slot. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. 30 minutes is very normal.
And so you'll see wildly different charging amounts for this 30 minutes, depending on the skill of the photographer, their equipment, how long it takes them to edit, that sort of thing. All of these are included in their prices. And we'll talk about this in the after session, but in today's markets, we're so used to cheap crap that people are now wanting to pay cheap crap prices but get quality, and it does not work that way. Whether in photography, whether in modeling, whether in cosplay, you can't pay crap and expect to get the world. You will get crap if you pay for crap. So,
that's a nice way of putting it. I do want to put in Mary's comment real quick because she has a good one. Think about it. Even Yaya doesn't ask for money for photos. So why should you be doing it? She's probably one of the most cost-famous people out there. That's a good point.
If you're modeling, then I think it's okay for you to ask for money because that is a profession.
Oh, yeah. It's different when it's cosplay a modeling gig.
Cosplay is not a profession, guys. As much as we may have cosplayers whose day job it is to go to conventions and cosplay, that's not a profession. At least in my opinion, it's not a profession. Not like, you know, our day jobs are professions. So I could understand if she were modeling and asking for money. But I kind of agree with not asking for money for cosplay photos, even if you are the most cost famous person in the world.
She would qualify for that. But she's also in a different position from the rest of us. I mean, she's made a career out of doing the things that she does. But even still, I know photographers who work with her almost on a biweekly basis, and she never asks for money. She does it because she wants to do it. It's fun. They have mutual agreement that it's not a big deal. So, I don't know. I don't understand.
I don't pretend to. All right. So on that note, we will go ahead and bring this episode 83 to a close. Of course, we always have our communication channels open for you. You can leave us an email at podcast@cospod.org. You can contact us on Facebook, DeviantArt, YouTube, and all sorts of other places, including our website, cospod.org. We do ask that you rate and review us on iTunes, as that helps our podcast gain visibility and gain more of an audience. We do ask that you share our page on Facebook if you enjoy the show. Even if you don't donate, you can always spread the word. We do very much thank you for that. Do you have anything else to add?
Spread the word of Cospod, for we are one.
The word of Cospod. Yes. Every
I had to do
every
it.
Every Sunday, you can attend the Church of Cospod, and we will worship the cosplay gods.
We are so going to hell.
In a handbasket, baby.
Hell yeah. All right.
We will see you guys next time in episode 84. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.